I forgot to do this. Okay. Anybody have tissues here? Is there tissues here? I got so much grease on these, I can't see. Sausage, bacon. It's all good stuff, you know. Yeah. Thank you. That's all. Just needed that. At least I can see a little bit now.
I don't know if I want to.
Looking out at this group. All right. Hey, guys, I'm sitting so purposely you guys can't see me too much. Okay? You don't want to see me. All right. Praise the Lord. Hey, we're going to take a little journey here. A couple of different scriptures. As I found out, I'm teaching or sharing. Okay? I'm Pastor Ray Biola, by the way. You know better. He speaks like a machine gun. He does, man. I love the guy. But he's homesick. So they asked me if I could open my Bible. Well, I don't have a problem opening my Bible. The question is there anything to say for me? So we'll see here. All right? Father, we ask you to bless your word. Lord, that's what's important.
Yes, yes.
As we look to your word, may each and every guy in here, Lord, myself included, Lord, we need to be encouraged at times. And we know that you want to do that for us, Lord. You promised to do that for us. And so we look unto you. Lord, we recognize you are the author and you're the finisher of our faith. And so we look unto you. We trust in you. May you speak by your Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, we're going to take a little journey. I just want to, there's nothing that I'll be saying today that's new. I mean, you guys, you've been teaching the word. You've been listening to Bible studies for how long? You know, but hopefully that something that comes forth may encourage you. Because I believe with all of my heart that every guy at some point, and it may be somebody in here today, I don't know. You go through, you know, you could become weary in the battle. That happens. And you start to wonder, you know, all kind of things can come into our heads, don't they? Am I called? Do I belong here? You know, these people hate me, you know. You probably felt that at sometimes, you know, because you look at it in, maybe you've looked out at your congregation and you saw weariness in their eyes, or you saw, sometimes people can look angry at you, don't they? I know, you guys probably don't ever have that, okay? I got students, so I know they do, okay? A lot of times they don't like what I have to say. I don't care. as long as I'm sharing the word, I don't care. But the reality of it is, we all can get weary. And we know, Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to turn there just to touch on one thing in particular, and then we're going to turn to some other scriptures. You guys know this text well. Because I believe with all of my heart, Paul, he encourages the saints. How many times does he encourage people? And sometimes his words of encouragement could be taken as a reprimand. That can be encouraging, can it? Sometimes, I know you guys probably never need it, but I know I do at times. Need a good swift kick in the can, you know? I always say I got to sit down to get, you know, start thinking, you know, kick the switch on. But sometimes we need to be really a reprimand. Sometimes it could be that word of encouragement. You know, it there's so many different ways. And so Paul tells us here, and you know this letter, you know it frontwards, you know it backwards. You probably have all taught it at least 10 times, maybe more. Where he tells us at the end of Ephesians here, finally, my brethren, right? We know that. And we're called to put on the armor of God. But he says the whole armor. That's a very important part of that. That you may be able to stand. And then he says, to stand. He didn't say, this is just a suggestion. He says, no, stand, right? How important is that? It's called, we have to take a stand. And if the guys in this room can't take a stand, then something's really wrong. Because the reality of it is, this is the front lines. This is the warriors. Many years ago, and there's just a little thing that Pastor Chuck said at a conference out in Twin Peaks many years ago. He served a dinner. You know, he had his students come out. I don't require us to do that. Sorry, guys. To come out in black pants, white shirt, you know, with a towel over their arm. He had the students all do that. And they came out and served us a prime rib dinner. Baked potatoes, you know, the whole deal. And I asked Pastor, I said, Pastor Chuck, why the feast? Because these are the frontline guys. And this is an opportunity to encourage them. And that's why I love doing what I do, because I believe that with all my heart. You guys are the front lines. And you are. And you could get weary. And that's why he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And you know these weapons much better than I do. But there's one in particular, as I look at it. In verse 17, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he says, take the helmet of salvation. And guys, we all know this. Again, nothing new. Well, the helmet is put on. It points to the mind. Because you can become weary. You can have anxious thoughts. You can have weird thoughts. I know this would never happen to you guys. See, the Spirit's saying, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay? Have this guy shut up. No. But really, you could have, you know this in yourself. You could be sitting in there worshiping, and all of a sudden, what's Satan do? You have some weird thought pop into your head. And you got to deal with it right away, right? That's obvious. But again, to me, one of the biggest things is, guys can become weary. And especially, I shouldn't say especially, because that's probably a bad term. Because it can happen to any size congregation. But my heart goes to so many times, the guys that have the smaller churches. When I say small, I'm talking, you know, a church can be 25 people. It's still a church. 50 people. Don't ever worry about that part. Okay, but the reality of it is, many times when you have the small, you don't have a guy or somebody there to hold your arms up. You know, Moses, his arms go up, man. Okay, but when they start going down, what happens? They start losing. Got to raise up the arms. A lot of times, you guys, that if you have a smaller church, you don't have the guys to raise up your arms, so to speak. You don't have the guys to come along and stand with you in the battle and to be an encouragement. And honestly, sometimes even in a bigger church, the guys don't do it. They should be doing it, but they don't do it. And so you can become weary. You can start going, Lord, what am I doing? And I'm going to tell you, Satan wants to rip you off. Because I believe with all of my heart, if there's that one person that you're ministering to, and they're being fed. Let me tell you, it's worth it, isn't it? It really is. You don't know how God could use maybe that one person that you have been ministering to. And man, they go out, and all of a sudden, they got a church going, and Satan will come in and rip you off on that too. Their church explodes, and then you're sitting going, what about me, Lord? Okay? But the reality of it is, we should be excited over that. We really should. when God begins to do those kind of things. And so, you know, taking that helmet of sin, but he tells us we have to take it. The problem with much of the church is we don't take this armor that God has provided. He's given us all these wonderful things for our benefit. And again, I'm not going through all of them because you know them all. I like the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Remember, it's his sword. It's his word, isn't it? So that's why we need to be in tune so that we know what he wants to direct and where he wants to direct it. He chooses the ammunition and he chooses the direction for it. Right? So it's his sword. It's his word. And so with that in mind, I'd like to turn to, let's go first to, I think we'll go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Why? Because I like it. It's that simple. As I read these texts, man, I get excited over them. You know, I really do. I get excited over them. And I hope that they maybe encourage you today. You know, maybe you're going through that at this moment. I know Matt's going through a building process over there. You know, that can be weary. Things don't go exactly like they're supposed to do. I don't know if they ever have. I don't know anybody that's ever had it go exactly the way it's supposed to. I don't know. Maybe you guys, you're so in the Spirit, maybe it does. I don't know. But realistically, I don't think it happens that way. Okay? We all go through those difficult. And man, you know, Satan could come in and rip you off on it. He could come in. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time doing this? Don't you know the rapture's going to happen tomorrow? Why are you spending all this money? Well, because the Lord told you. It's pretty simple.
How'd you get in there?
Been there, done that. Okay? The reality of it is, every guy in this room has probably been there, done that. You know? That's a reality of what begins to happen. Okay? And so, in 2 Corinthians now, I like chapter 6 because I think it just brings words of encouragement. Because we got to remember, guys, one of the things that's so important, we don't work for God.
Yes.
It tells us in chapter 6. It's pretty important. We then, as workers together with him, amen, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So we work with him. We just get to be co-laborers with him. We get to stand side by side with Jesus, and we get the privilege of doing what we do. Guys, I mean this wholeheartedly, I hope you can count it a blessed privilege to do what you do. And I mean it. You know, sometimes I'm amazed. And he's sitting here, so I better shut up because he's liable to tell me I'm done. No. I just to go on a Sunday morning and unlock the church. You know that? To put the key in the door. Mm-hmm. And to turn and to unlock the church. I stand there in amazement sometimes. My wife says, "Where are you standing? Why don't you hurry up? It's cold out here." I'm just enjoying the moment. I really do.
Amen.
Because we get to do what we do. You unlock the building. You get to go in and turn on the lights and prepare for the people to come. Some of you guys that maybe are assistants, you get to do that, don't you? So that when your pastor comes, he doesn't have to worry about that. Okay? I know I have failed sometimes. I look and I see a light bulb out after he's there. And it eats at me. It does. I'm serious, guys. That bugs me. I should have caught it. He shouldn't have to tell me he sees a light out. I should already have done it. Because that's what we're supposed to do. To prepare the way. So that when the people come, You know, I got to tell you, we live in, we get snow once in a while. I don't know what's happened this year. Okay? I mean it. We haven't. They're getting ready to go to Israel, so we'll get it then. We always do. When they leave for Israel, we get hammered. Okay? With snow. Got to be careful with the word. With snow. Okay. All right? But I've watched guys, you know, you get there and you want, I really believe we want to have the sidewalks done. We want things to be ready when the people come. It should already be done. And guys will walk up, why didn't you call me? I mean it. What do you mean get on the phone and call? Did it snow at your house? Right? I mean, come on. Are you coming to take care of the house of God or not? You should have called. Get out of here. I want to smack them sometimes. I'm terrible. They want grace, they got to go to Pastor Scott or Pastor Bill. Okay? I'll give them the law. But look at this text. So we're working together with him. And I like that, guys. To me, that is just, when we consider that, stop and think about that. We get to work with Jesus. Do you have somebody that you enjoy working side by side with? I mean it. There's a lot of guys that I serve with. I enjoy serving with them. I get to serve with these kids. I get blown away by that. It's such a privilege to be able to do it. But then stop and think. You're serving with Jesus. Side by side with Jesus. How do you count that? How do you look at that? Do you walk around mumbling? I mean, yeah. Woe is me. I got so much to do. Get out of here. None of us have been worked to death. We like what we do. We should enjoy it. Okay? So it says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation I have succored thee. You know, I've helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. I really like that verse in the sense of there's something missing in much of ministry today, guys. And I'm probably off on, they probably didn't want me to even touch on this, but I don't care. There's something missing in ministry today, and I mean this wholeheartedly. And if this hits the bullseye, you know, it's the old saying, if you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, the one that yelps the loudest is the one that got hit. Well, I hope it hits us. Because the reality of it is, integrity is lacking in ministry today. We see it all the time. Never let it be said of us. The guys in this room, and guys that we know, we should be encouraging them in the area of integrity. It's lacking. We sometimes share something in the sense of, oh man, the Lord gave me this. Oh, it's so... And you know you got it from a commentary you read or somebody that you listened to. And instead of saying, hey, you know, when I was studying, I came across this. We don't have to sit there and quote, you know, give quotations for every person or everything. But we could say simply, hey, you know, when I came across this and I really liked it. Because I believe we should give a note, so to speak, in the sense of, hey, this is not my own thought. And the Lord, once it came in, it became something that I really enjoy. I like it. But it wasn't a great revelation from the Lord to me. Other than the fact that when I read it or I heard somebody, man, it just really, it hit me. I liked it. So why shouldn't we say that? Why shouldn't we be men of integrity? How can we expect our young people or even our older people to be people of integrity if we can't do it? Are we not called to be the shepherds? Well, I'm a sheepdog. I say it all the time. I'm not the shepherd. I'm a sheepdog. Okay? Pastor Scott's my shepherd, in a sense. He's an under-shepherd. We know that. You guys understand. When I say that, you understand what I'm talking about. Okay? God's called him as the pastor. I'm a sheepdog. I keep him rounded up. That's what I do. Okay? He leads them. As he's following Jesus, he leads them. And I want to keep rounding them up. So look at what it says now. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Look at this now. This is all things that you go through. Is there a guy in this room that doesn't go through something? If you are, please, I want to hear it. I want to talk to you. Because I want to find out how you do it. Because the reality of it is, I think every guy in this room goes through afflictions, necessities, distresses. We all have issues that we have to deal with, don't we? It can be, how many times does it happen with your spouse? And man, that brings agony to you, doesn't it? But does the Lord want to still minister? Of course. I think probably the hardest day, you know, when I found out I had cancer, it was like, peh, big deal. Really. Didn't bother me. It's called, I'm not even worried. But when my wife got cancer, man, did that hit me. It really did. I spent more time on the floor in my living room, on my face before the Lord, praying for my wife. So the Lord used it. You talk about distress or when your kids go through things. You know, I tell my wife all the time, I can handle our trials. I can't handle my kids' trials. Knuckleheads. But the reality of it is, we go through these things in stripes, imprisonments. You know, we have not had to endure that at this point. Could it happen here in this country? Let me tell you, the freedoms are disappearing, aren't they? You better believe it. I think it was Maryland. Who's from Maryland here? I just read this morning. I don't know. How did I even read it? I don't know. Okay? I've been sort of out of it, so I don't know if I read it right. But they passed a thing down there where they're trying to pass it, where the kids, they can give vaccinations to kids. They can do all that and never have to tell the parents. Never have to tell the parents. I'd be like a raging bull if they did that to my kid. I'm serious. I'd probably go nuts. The Lord would have to temper me. Because I know in my flesh, man, I'd want to just chew somebody up and spit them out. And then chew them up and spit them out again. Just for fun. No, really, you think about it, man. That the imprisonments, it can happen here. This country's changing fast, isn't it? It's not the same country that I have grown up in when I was young. I know some of you young guys, you know, this is what you've learned. This is what you've seen. You know, I get on the kids' case all the time about technology. You know, iPhones and all the stuff. I'm a dinosaur, okay? I really am. I don't like a lot of that stuff. I use it as little as I have to. But reality-wise, the kids have grown up with that. They don't know anything else. Okay? We didn't grow up with that. We had slide rules. Some of the young guys, what's a slide rule? Okay? But really, we didn't have a calculator. Now they got calculators to do all of their quadratic formula, all the stuff on there. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. We weren't allowed to any of that stuff. We didn't have it, first off. My first computer in at Finger Lakes was 80 megabytes. 80 megabytes. Okay? That's basically a word processor. Had those 5.5-inch floppy disks that go in there. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. Then we graduated to the 3.5 hard disk. Man, woohoo, those were great. But these kids have grown up with it. So this is what they know. It goes on in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Man, all these things that we go through as Christians, as leaders in the church. But how are we reacting? And I mean this from my heart, guys. How are we reacting in the midst of these things that people see from our lives? And we're human, believe me. You know, we have our issues, don't we? Don't we go through it? And sometimes I can't say that I always handle it the best. I wish I could say I did. But man, we are the ones that they're looking at, aren't we? That's a scary thought. But they watch us. I know some of the guys in this room. I know some of the stuff that you've been through. And I know how you've glorified the Lord through it. I mean it. I look around this room. I know a lot of these guys, and I know the things that they've been through. And they've glorified the Lord through it. And the people have an example that they can look to. Because that's what we're called to. Are we called or not? Then he goes on. I like verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. You know, that sincere, pure love. Man, that is so wonderful. When you think about the love of God that touches and ministers to every one of our hearts. I get overwhelmed by that sometimes. You know, I mean, you know, I've had the blessed privilege, and to this day it still amazes me. God brought my darling into my life, and for 50 years we've been together. How could that be? I didn't think I was 50 years old. I walked the earth when the dinosaurs were roaming, okay? I feel like that some days. Okay? But man, we see this. You know, it's all the Holy Ghost. It's all what the Holy Spirit does for us. Isn't it? By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and by dishonor, by evil report, good report, as deceivers yet true. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. You know, I like that, unknown yet well known. Boy, that sounds like a contradiction, isn't it? Unknown. Man, you guys, some of you guys, and I'm going to tell you, nobody outside of your town may ever know who you are. You're not, you know, sitting there and doing the pastor's conferences. You're not asked to be, you know, the worship leader at some big event, you know. You just simply do worship at your congregation. And nobody outside of those circles even knows who you are. But let me tell you, you're known by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're known by our gracious Heavenly Father. And those things are what should matter, guys. I mean it. When you get discouraged, because it can happen again to every guy in here, I don't care who it is, you could go through it. If you hear certain words, what happens when somebody hears the word cancer? Man, does that sort of jolt you at first? It can. But it's like when you hear certain things, it sort of just jolts you for a minute. But man, when you look to the Lord and you recognize God's in control of it all, nothing could happen unless the Lord allowed it, right? Ooh. So you happen to get something. You know, we have a lady in our church. Man, I am just, it absolutely blew my mind. She had been over in Japan. And while she went over to take care of her grandkids, because her daughter was in the Navy and had to do some training to be able to move up the ladder, so to speak. I don't know how all that works in the Navy. But she went over to take care of her grandkids. And she came back from Japan. And she got back right when COVID shut everything down. She was like on the last flight out of Japan. And so she's been sick all that time. They finally discovered a parasite. She's down to 105 pounds, you know. And yet, you know, she's filled with the joy of the Lord. Oh, yeah, is it bothering her? But you know what? She got hooked up with, I don't know this medicine. I never had to take it. At least I don't know. Maybe I have. You know, when you travel, you take some things that I don't pay attention to them a lot of times. They just tell you to take them. That's me, okay? Ivermectin. And she came, told me the other day, it's helping. After all this time, it's actually working. Okay? And she's feeling pretty good. She was at church on Sunday. Last week. Because I wasn't there this Sunday. But man, she's filled with the joy of the Lord. She's like, hey, you know, it happened. Not stressing over it. Man, is that heat? Really? It's warm in here, isn't it? How are you guys standing this? Wow. It's pretty warm, I think. I don't know. Okay. All right. But yet, you know, we think about the Lord. If he allows these things to happen in our lives, he's got a purpose and a plan, doesn't he? A lot of it, we can look at and say, God, because we know Corinthians, it tells us, he uses these things that we could be examples for others. We know that. But so many times the things that he uses are to perfect us. Attitudes. The way we deal with things, okay? I got to give you one more example because this is something that just threw me. I had to learn a lot. I'm always learning a lot. I'm a box of rocks, okay? So I need a lot of lessons. Sometimes I think God has to hit me upside the head with a 2x4 to get my attention. But my son and his wife was in a car accident. Real bad, you know. She still isn't right. But the bottom line is, she was going through, you know, he was coming over my house, you know, and he'd fall asleep, and she'd get all upset because he's falling asleep, you know. And I said, man, why don't you just man up? That's my... You ever do that with your kids? Man up. Just do, you know what you're supposed to do. Just do it. Don't cry a river to me. Pretty hard sometimes. So, what did the Lord allow? He allowed our house to get burnt. We had a fire. So, in the meantime, I had to go live with my son. We they could have given us a hotel, but we chose to live with my son to help him out. So, my wife and I moved in, and I found out, I had to learn what he was going through every night. He'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, she's screaming and she's biting him. She didn't know what she's doing. She got brain trauma. She's biting. He'd wake up to him, his chest being bit. And I mean, he'd be bleeding. She's biting him so hard. Or she's throwing lamps. And she's just freaking out at 2 o'clock in the morning. But the Lord allowed us to live in that house so I could learn, oh, you know what? Maybe you better have a little more grace for your son. Maybe you shouldn't be so hardcore on this. Man up. It's easy to say man up, isn't it? You know, you guys know what I'm talking about in the sense of we can do that. We can do that with the flock. And God's saying, hey, maybe you better temper that a little bit. Maybe you better temper it. So he goes on here. How much time do I got? I don't even know. I never pay attention. Okay. What, 10 more minutes? Is that what I got? Or more? Okay, we'll keep going. All right. So, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Man, we are wealthy. I don't care about how much money you got. Knowing Jesus, we're wealthy. We got the best. Okay, now let's turn to, man, that scripture just is really powerful. Let's see. Which one do I want to do here? Okay, we're going to turn to not that one. I marked so many guys. I'm terrible with this. I got more markers in my Bible. Okay, let's look at John 21. You guys know this text. And you know what? I'm coming in here because I'm not getting to sit in here. I don't know what any other guy has shared yet. I have no clue. So if I repeat something, get over it. Man up. There you go. I like it. Man up. Okay. Let's start with, because I don't want to take all day for you. Let's look at verse 15. Okay. You guys know this text well. Again, there's nothing new that I'm sharing with you. I told you that. Just maybe today's the day you're down, or maybe today's the day that you, as you guys get to break up into groups, not groups in the sense of, you know, we're assigning you your group. No. But man, you hopefully you're getting together with guys and sitting and talking with them, praying with them. Okay. Pray for those guys that are going through difficulties. Pray for the guys that are, everything's going right, because look out. Never know when that could change. But the reality of it is, you know, encourage one another. Spend time together. I know sometimes you want to go seek the Lord at Walmart. I remember one year at Shepherd School. I said, okay, guys, you know, I want you to go. Here's an apple. I used to give them MREs. Okay? I did. I'd give them on Saturday mornings. They'd line up and I'd hand them MREs and say, now, don't come back in here until tonight. I don't want to see you. Go seek the Lord. Take your Bible, grab an apple, grab an MRE, and get out of here. Okay? I'm a little more gracious now. I give them an apple. I don't give them MREs. Okay? But the reality of it is, you know, it's go seek the Lord. And I had to go pick up some more stuff at Walmart because I have to do that a lot. You know, I'm always running the store. You guys eat a lot. That's okay. That's why we do it. But really, you know, I go into Walmart and there's the whole crew walking the aisles of Walmart. I said, oh, busted. Oh, there's times you got to go do things, you know. I get that. But in verse 15, look at this now. Gospel of John, it's always, you know, every time I read anything by John, you know, whether it be the Gospel of John, when I read 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John, or whether I read Revelation, doesn't it blow your mind? The depth of how God began to do things in this guy's life. But he shares some things that sometimes it could be one of us. You failed. You blew it. And you feel like, I can't ever recover from that. Lord, I've messed up. I misrepresented you. Because I know. I've been there. I've done that. I'm probably more times than I ever want to think about. I remember one particular instance. I went to the hospital. I was at the hospital. My daughter-in-law, she was long-term care, you know, really, she was, so she's in there, and a guy kept going to visit her, and he's sort of weird. You know, I know you guys don't have any weird people in your church, right? If I was there, I'd be the weird one, okay? But there, you know, you got those people that just, they're out there, la-la land somewhere. And my son says to me, Dad, this guy doesn't belong in there. How he was getting in, I don't know. Because it's intensive care, you know, we had to get permission to go in, okay? And so I went to him, and I was, you know, gracious at first. At first. Notice I said at first. And I said to him, you know, hey, you know what? You don't have any business being there. You know, my son really would request that you don't go back to her room anymore. And he got, man, he just... I go where I want, when I want, and there's nobody going to tell me not to. Boom. Did you ever have your mind just snap? I did. I went ballistic. I just lost it. I totally lost it. And I mean, I had my arm in him, man, and I'm telling him, if you step foot in that room, I'm going to break your legs. I'll kill you. I mean, I lost it. I did, and I mean, I was like, you know, afterwards, do you ever have it where you're just like, oh, Lord, what did I do? I just misrepresented you so bad. And I went in to see Pastor Scott. I said, man, if you need to fire me, I get it. I understand. I just really blew it. I messed up big time. And his reaction just, do you ever have it? Just pieced me out. It was like he busted out laughing. He did. He says, I'm surprised you didn't kill him. And all I could do was laugh. But I mean, I did. You know, you're broken hearted. You misrepresented Christ. But you blew it. You blew it. And you know you blew it. So we look here at this, man. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And I think, you know, there's always that reference there of make sure you're taking care of the kids. Make sure you're taking care of the kids, okay? But this to me is one of the greatest texts. Guys, if you messed up, Peter messed up. He denied his Lord, didn't he? And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him, the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest. And he spake, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. But I want the point here is Jesus had such compassion, such a heart, that he recommissioned them, but in front of everybody. He wanted the others to know, hey, it's okay. I knew he would mess up to begin with. And Jesus recommissioned them. Guys, maybe, and I don't know the situation. Maybe the Lord's challenging you to recommission somebody. a guy, you know, because let me tell you, if you're looking for the perfect men to serve with you that never messes up, you're going to be by yourself for a long time. Because guys will mess up. I'm not talking about committing adult, those kind of, I'm not talking about that. They just blow it. They make mistakes. And we got to be willing to recommission them, saying, hey, look, everybody messes up. Did you learn anything? Let's get about our Father's business. Maybe it's you sitting there. And you're waiting for the Lord to recommission you. Get along with the Lord. Father, I love you. I want to serve you. I want to give my all for you, Lord. And God will say, hey, I love you. You know what? It didn't surprise him one bit when I jacked the guy up against the wall. It didn't surprise God. Surprised me. I thought that was all out of me. You know? Yeah, it was when I was young. I'm old. But the reality of it is, maybe you're one of the guys that needs to be alone with the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to get right with you. I want to serve you. I want to do everything, every ounce of strength. Because I want to tell you guys, until they put a toe tag, I want to give every out to the wall for Jesus. My wife says all the time to me, she says, yeah, right. When they put a toe tag on you, you're going to sit up and holler at the kids. Get busy. What are you, marrying a job? Okay? Because I probably will. I don't know, man. I'm just kidding. But obviously, until that we take our last breath, do we want to give Jesus our all? Everything we got. And when we mess up, we can get right with God. Lord, I misrepresented you. I spoke harshly to that person. Almost killed the person. No. Hopefully you don't react like I did. But really, guys, we need to spend the time and seek the Lord and say, I want to do this for you, Lord. I want to give everything I got. Till the day we're taken. Hey, the rapture could happen today. Wouldn't that be great? But let me tell you, if in the meantime, and I mean it, if in the meantime, one person comes to know Jesus, sticking around here a little while longer, so be it. If another person will get not have to spend an eternity in hell. Wow. If one of my family members, one, comes to know the Lord and doesn't spend eternity in hell, it would be worth it. So, Lord, I want to give everything for you. Because we're working with Him, not for Him. All right, I'm going to shut up. Okay, we got a great book here, don't we? That we could turn to. There's so many other texts. Just wanted to try and hopefully encourage somebody here. You know, maybe you're the guy that's going through it. I don't know. I think we all go through it at some point. Okay? We do. So let's learn. That's why it's one of the wonderful things about being together here. It really is. You get the chance to be together, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, no matter what's going on in your fellowships. Okay? I got very excited. I got to tell you, I got so excited. Man, who was it? Was Mike? Is Mike in here? Where's he at? Not that Mike. Zach, you're Mike. Oh. He's standing back here. Duh. How could I miss you? You're standing there. But I got so blessed. He was telling me that when he went up to Alaska, the group, you know, they actually took the pastor up there, because the pastor, a small church, great church up in Kodiak. We love them dearly. A couple of our students left and went up to Kodiak and started the church. Okay? They got more grizzly bears than they do people. Okay? But it's wonderful. These guys turned around and said, you know, hey, we want you guys to go out on a date. Okay? And they hooked them up to let them go out on a date because they hadn't been out on a date in years. Okay? And I'm thinking, what an encouragement. He was telling me about how she, you know, she got makeup on and she's all, you know, she got all dressed up to go out to, because they hadn't done it. You know, that sounds silly. But the reality of it is, I got so blessed hearing that. Guys, maybe that's what we need to be doing for a while. Not necessarily a date. My wife and I have date night every week. I take one couch, she takes the other. Okay? By Friday nights, we're tired, okay? We're just, okay? But seriously, you need to pray about what you can do to encourage those that you're in the battle with. Something, it sounds silly, let them go out on a date. I thought that was awesome. Man, I'm sitting there beating myself. I'm going, why didn't I ever think of that? You know? Really? It's something simple. But wow, that is awesome. It really is. So, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for, Lord, your word. You want to encourage us all the time, Lord, when we look to you. May we stay steadfast in your word. May we bury ourselves in this book. Lord, we know, we've heard it said before, that, Lord, we need to be well read. But, Lord, we need to live in the Bible. And that's where we want to live, Lord. As we approach every day, all the things that are going on around us, Lord, we want to make sure that we are staying in fellowship with you, that we are staying in your word, Lord, and allowing you, by your Holy Spirit, to minister to our hearts. And Lord, when you put those things on our hearts to bless others, to encourage others, Lord, may we never just stop. May we just take advantage of those things and do it. Lord, never knowing just how important that may be to encourage that brother or sister, that fellow labor in the word, those that are in the battle with us, Lord. So please, Lord, work in us day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right.